Robbie Romeiser here. I'm excited about today's program, so excited, in fact, that I've included over 20 minutes of bonus material for you after the on-air portion of Career Callings finishes playing. I trust you will be blessed, as I have been, by today's featured guest.
You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our mission at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Well, I have another featured guest for you today who's got some serious wisdom to share with us about careers, and his name is Lee Mosley. Lee Mosley is a life coach, chaplain, and founder and president of One-on-One Ministries, Inc., which is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation. He's also director of chaplain services for a company called Business Care of America, both of those entities serving the upstate of South Carolina. Lee has over 40 years in ministry experience that includes work in three branches of our United States Armed Forces, where he worked with and alongside military chaplains, and he's also served in seven ministerial church positions over his career. Lee has authored three books, and he's also in the process of publishing six other manuscripts, and he holds degrees in Christian ministries, counseling, theology, a master's of divinity, and has done doctoral course work. Lee Mosley, when have you had time to sleep in your life, sir?
I sometimes wonder, Robbie. With five children and a wife and going to school and pastoring and doing ministry work and writing, I have been extremely busy, but God somehow allows me to weather the storm and get through some of these times. So, there have been tough times, but there's also been joys riding on the top of the waves.
Amen to that. Amen to that, brother. Well, tell us a little bit more about yourself and also about what you're doing right now with your coaching ministry and also Business Care of America.
Well, a few years ago, I was hit a real pit in my life, Robbie. I was $90,000 in debt. I tried to flip some houses. I had left a church. Doors had not opened for me to move forward. And sometimes this can be a lengthy story, so I'll try to abbreviate it as much as I can. And God saw us through those times, those difficult times. But in the process, unsure of what to do, I was led to a friend of mine from North Carolina that had taken my staff position at a large church up there. We met in Traveler's Rest over a Chinese dinner. And Jim said to me, as I was telling him all my problems, my finances and everything, I said, Jim, I just do not know what I am supposed to do. And he said, well, Lee, what is it that you are presently doing for God's kingdom? And I sat back and thought a minute. Well, I'm meeting with gentlemen one-on-one, getting to know them, befriending them, and I am finding that everybody has a problem, whether it's a family problem, whether it's a financial problem, whether it's a relationship problem, whatever. And I try to help them work through that hurdle in their life and minister to them in that way. And that's what I'm doing right now for the kingdom. I do that over lunch, dinner, over coffee, whatever. And I just become their friend. And he said, well, why don't you do that? I said, what do you mean, Jim? He said, why don't you do that as a ministry? And I looked at him perplexed. And I said, can I do that? He said, well, why don't you bloom where God has planted you? And it really caught me off guard. I went home and I called three other friends across the country that I looked to as advisors, and they said the same thing. I then went to the scriptures and I said, okay, Lord, show me that this is truly a viable ministry. And I went to the Gospel of Mark. I'm one of those keep it simple, stupid, or sweetheart guys, you know. And I went to the Gospel of Mark, and I made three columns. These were my findings only. And one column had Jesus in large crowds, and then Jesus in the next column in small groups, and then Jesus having one-on-one encounters with other individuals. And every time I saw Jesus in one of those situations, I would put a mark. And when I got through doing that, I found that Jesus was, and this you'll find this pretty accurate throughout the Gospels, and Jesus was 15% of the time in Mark, he was in large crowds like the feeding of the 5,000. 35% of the time he was in small groups like with the disciples in the upper room. And then he was having one-on-one relationships and encounters with other individuals 50% of the time.
Wow, I had no idea.
And I thought, well, Lord, what is going on here? And it kind of bothered me at first, because I know that sounds crazy, but I actually got mad, because I had spent 5.5 years working my way through Bible college. I had spent 4.5 years working through a 3-year degree, master's degree, and I'd begun doctoral work, and I had been taught how to teach in large groups, like being a pastor. I had been taught how to teach Bible studies and whatnot in small groups. But rarely, if at all, was I taught much on how to build relationships one-on-one with other individuals. And yet Jesus spent most of his time doing this. And the more I pondered that, though, then I started getting excited, because I realized not everybody has to go to Bible college or seminary or do doctoral work to know how to be someone's friend. And Jesus was a friend to sinners. And so that's the abbreviated beginning of the story, but it led me eventually into corporate chaplaincy. There are over 6,000 corporate chaplains in North America, in places like Coca-Cola, Ford Motor Company. Tyson Foods has 125 chaplains nationwide. And it is a growing phenomenon that both Billy Graham and Henry Blackaby have said the greatest mission field today is the workplace. Today, churches are in decline. They are either plateauing or going down in number. 90% of our churches are in that state. But people are still going to work, and people are still having problems. And so the greatest mission field today is the workplace. What an opportunity we as businessmen, we as God's people have to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to people in the workplace that are hurting and need Christ. It's just been so that's my abbreviated version of that, and I thoroughly enjoy what I do.
Well, I can tell that just by listening to the passion with which you described it. I mean, there's so many lessons I could pull from just what you've already said. But I like I said a minute ago, as I remarked while you were speaking, I had no idea that the Lord Jesus had spent 50% of his time in one-on-one, and then those smaller amounts. What was it? 15% in large groups and 35% in small groups. And, yeah. You know, I think, and I'm just speculating, maybe I'm totally off base here, but it so many people, like you said, do focus on the impact of a large group or a small group, and they feel like, since they are not able or willing to stand up in front of a group to teach or preach, or to maybe create a small group setting in their home, like a weekly Bible study, since they're not able or willing or have enough time in their opinion to do any of those things, they might come to the conclusion that they really cannot have an impact for Christ on this planet. But what you just mathematically proved is that every one of us can have an impact on a one-on-one setting, invite people out to lunch or dinner or take them out to a cup of coffee or something like that, and definitely make an impact one person at a time. And that's obviously not a waste of time like maybe our society would teach us. But if Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of the universe, the creator of the universe, invested so much of his time in one-on-one impact, then it's something any of us can do on a daily basis. We just have to choose to be willing to do it. And like you said, Lee, in the business setting, really in the business setting, that's where most of us are going to have our biggest sphere of influences, our coworkers and so on. And we ought to take advantage of that by caring enough to have one-on-one ministries on our own. So thank you for sharing that. Now, I do have a curiosity question. How do you actually, feed your family? I mean, how do you put food on the table? I'm guessing these people you're having one-on-one visits with aren't paying you to be there. Maybe they are. Tell me how you're actually generating income by doing this.
I'm making, financially taking care of my family in two ways. One-on-one ministries began as a life coaching ministry, sitting down one-on-one with people. And I started going and speaking at churches because people started saying to me, well, Lee, that's easy for you to become a friend to other people. You have a natural personality like that. But could you teach us how? And because some people are shy and some people just don't know what to say. So I began going into churches and I began teaching in Sunday schools and everything, how to be a friend to other people. As a matter of fact, I wrote a book called One-on-One Evangelism and sharing with people how to befriend people. And so I started doing that. At the same time, I got together with Rick and a business. And so I do it two ways. One is through one-on-one ministries, so 501c3 through donations. And then the other way is I go in and I sign companies up and come in as their chaplain. The companies with chaplains have higher productivity, higher profits, higher retention rates, less absenteeisms, and higher morale. And if that's happening in a company, and we just had an owner of a company tell us last week or last month, I am so glad you guys are here. You don't know how much it means to me that you're here. I was spending 80% of my time being the mother and father to my employees, always hearing their problems, always dealing with their situations. Now you guys are here and taking care of that for me. I can get back to work. I don't have to go to the hospitals. I don't have to follow up on the situations. You can do that for me. And that's what we do. We go to the hospitals. Most business owners don't like to go to hospitals, and they don't have time to go to hospitals, and they don't know what to say when they do go to hospitals. And so when somebody's sick, they just pick up the phone and say, Lee, Joe Smith, let's say, is in the hospital. He had a car accident. Can you go visit him for me? Sure. I'll be over there in the next couple of hours, and I'm over there, and I go in and see Joe and his family, and I minister to them and say, your employer called me, and he asked me to come and visit you, and if there's anything that we can do for you guys, just let us know, and I will take that back to him. And he said he wants to know what he can do, so just let me know. So I minister that way, and they come back saying, hey, my boss really cared for me. And that makes for a better employee.
Come on back for some more Career Callings in just a couple of minutes. I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
We are Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place in this world, my place in this world.
Welcome back from the break to Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. We're at Career Callings, our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I'm having a very enjoyable conversation with my friend Lee Mosley. And so let's get right back into it, Lee. Tell me about your worst career failure during your journey to where you are today.
Well, Robbie, I think one of the toughest times and hardest times of my life was probably about 10 years ago when all this started to transpire. We had I'd been pastoring. I had five children. One was in college. One was getting ready to go to college. And a year after that, another would be in college. So I would have three in college. I had left the church that I was at and thinking something else was going to be opening, and it did not. And I had been trying to flip some houses at that time. And the bottom was starting to fall out in the real estate industry, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. Anyway, overnight, without a job, I went $90,000 in debt, and the situation was very bleak. And I was doing everything I could to try to make some money, doing things on the side, trying to make these houses happen. And nothing was working, and we, like I say, went $90,000 in debt. And I cried out to God, and I just said, Father, you promised to be a father to the fatherless, and I need my father right now. I was over in Lawrence, sitting in a ditch. I know this sounds crazy, but I had gone over there to try to salvage this house from going into foreclosure, and it was a hot summer day, And I'd been working in the yard and in the house, and I went out because there was no electricity going on in this house. I went out and sat under a little cool shade tree with my feet in the ditch on a little embankment. And the phone rang. This was just a few days after I prayed that prayer. And there was an attorney, I didn't recognize the number, that called me at that time and from New York City. He was from New York, and I said, I don't know anybody in New York. And he said, Lee, do you remember a woman named, she told me her name, and I said, yes. And he said, well, she was a good friend of your mom's, and she passed away. And I said, well, mom's going to be sorry to hear that. And he said, well, I appreciate you letting her know, but I wanted to call you because she put you in her will. And I went, what? And I said, well, really? I was kind of shocked, but I had met her on a few occasions, and mom loved her to death and would speak of her. And he said, well, she put you in her will, and she left you a check here for $50,000.
Oh, wow.
I said, excuse me? He repeated, here I'm in T-shirt shorts, swagging my theater in the ditch. And, he said the same thing, and he said, I just need to get your address, and I'll be sending you a cashier's check out today, and you should get it in 2 or 3 days. So I gave him the information, and when I hung up, I stood up, and I did a jig in the ditch right there.
That's a visual I could have done without. I could imagine, yeah, you trying to dance.
I was shouting. I mean, I was thanking the Lord, and that was probably a pinnacle point in my life, because I was deeply starting to get depressed, and the greatest lesson, I guess, I learned from that. Nancy and I, just to give you another brief encounter of that story, I called her, and we took and paid $45,000 of that, $90,000 off right away, and caught up with a lot of stuff. And then we took $5,000 out and fixed the cars up, got a few clothes, and went out on a few dates. And $5,000 can go pretty quick when you're doing all that. But
sure.
We just started and enjoyed life for a little bit. But we still had $45,000 that we had to pay off. And I listened to a guy handed me one tape of Dave Ramsey, and I listened to it, and he gave an explanation on how to handle debtors and debts. And within a year's period of applying his principles, I cut that debt in half to write it about $22,000. And then those were just basically made up of credit cards. So I paid those off. It took 7 years to get out of that, but we paid little bit by little bit. And then about 3 years ago, we were totally debt free. And so, Lord willing, we're going to continue on. So,
amen.
That's
that.
My story of the toughest time of my life. So, yeah, that was probably one of the hardest, and I felt like a failure at that time.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people have stories that made them feel the same way, but we all have lessons we can draw from those. And the big lesson I pulled from that is that sometimes the Lord is waiting on us to ask him for help. You know, there have been times in my life when the Lord has helped me without me asking. And that's just, you know, because he's so awesomely good. But there have been other times in my life, similar to what you just described, where the blessings did not come until I got around to stop trying to do it in my own power and laid that problem at his feet. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And help me out, Lee. I have a horrible time remembering references. I think that's 1 Peter something, something, something. Do you remember that one off the top of your head? Shame on me.
I've memorized it, but I can't remember the exact reference.
I remember verses and paraphrases, but I'm horrible about having references memorized. But it's in 1 Peter. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And that's what you did in that case. And in the times when I have done that, the Lord has answered prayer, sometimes immediately. Sometimes it took a long time because it took a lot of prayer. But just the lesson I get for all of us is that if you're going through a time right now where you need some help, as we like to say from time to time, you need to ask the Lord for help. And then maybe, maybe, he'll answer it immediately or soon thereafter. Now, Lee, how about your number one personal habit that consistently adheres to your career success or causes your career success?
Well, Well, almost every morning, I get up and I spend some time reading the scriptures, and then I also spend some time writing. I like to write for about an hour my thoughts that I've gained from the scriptures, and then I spend some time in prayer. And those are three in one, I guess you could say. But I make sure I have a morning devotion time, and I probably, you know, some people can and have a 10-minute or 15-minute devotion, but I'm one that needs more. Personally, I just have to have it. So I spend about an hour to hour and a half every morning doing that. So that's something that gets me going and prepares me for the day and also helps me to reflect on what's ahead.
Just so you know that you're not alone, almost every person I interview on the show here gives me that same answer. First thing in the morning, they're spending an hour to 2 hours in time with the Lord, and that's their number one personal habit to drive their success, not only in the career and in their life. So it's a great reaffirming of that need to do that every day. Now, if you could recommend just one book other than the Bible, because we understand that the Bible is the number one book everybody ought to read, but outside of that, what would be one book you would recommend for our listeners, and why would you recommend that?
I guess the book that had the biggest impact on me, it's probably about 35 years old. It's a book called Lifestyle Evangelism by a fellow named Joe Aldrich, who was the president of Multnomah Bible Institute and Seminary out in Multnomah, Oregon. The premise is Jesus was both strong in word and deed, and his premise was you enter people's lives, you build relationships with people, and you focus on the verse that says we should give every man an answer that asks us a question for the hope that's within us. And so as a chaplain, that's what I do. I go in, I don't go in there telling people about Jesus. I go in there and build relationships with people, and I wait for them to ask me a question about my faith. They'll say, "Chaplain, how'd you get into this? Chaplain, how'd you become a Christian? Chaplain, well, you know, what exactly is a Christian?" And I have opportunities to answer that question and to lead people to Christ. And that's what I would encourage people to read his book, Joe Aldrich's book, Lifestyle Evangelism. That had the biggest impact on me over the years, and it also fit into my personality and who I am. So it was a very good book.
Very good. And Lee, last question for you here: how can people connect with you?
Well, two ways. One is they can just give me a call. I'm an open. I have an open phone. My number is 864-384-8455, 864-384-8455. Or they can contact me through businesscareofamerica.org, businesscareofamerica.org. And those two venues are ways they can contact me. I would also say they can also contact me through my email, L-E-E, that's Lee, dash, not underscore, dash, 111 at att.net. So I guess three avenues there. So anybody who would like to contact me, please do. I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to get to know you and be your friend.
Fantastic. Well, Lee Mosley, thanks for joining us on the Career Callings radio program today, sir, and all the wisdom that you shared.
Okay. Well, Robbie, thank you for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
You bet. And that wraps up another edition of Career Callings. And of course, as always, you can get a copy of today's broadcast by going to careercallings.net/radio. And if you decide to access the podcast version of this broadcast, you'll not only get what we talked about on the air, but also the extra bonus material available only to listeners of the podcast version of Career Callings. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you.
Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
Now, Lee, how about your biggest career success? We don't want to be negative here, all solely negative on the program. What would be your biggest career success, and why? What made it so successful?
Well, that also involves another quick story, but I was pastoring a small church up in Western North Carolina, and it wasn't going very well because the church I'd gone to was basically a family-run church. It was made up of a particular family, and I was having difficulty because I wasn't part of the family, and so for me to disagree with anyone, it often brought some conflict. And I was real frustrated. I had three children at the time, and we were living in Hendersonville, North Carolina, pastoring in East Flat Rock. And I heard about a church, a PCA church across the way. I was pastoring a Baptist church, and I heard they were doing some great things. And so I called the pastor up and asked him if I could meet with him, and I'd like to share what was going on in my life. He met with me at a Golden Corral, and we had about an hour where I just basically open-vented and laid out the whole story of how frustrated I was and how upset I was and with things, and they weren't moving along, and I wanted to do them a lot like he was doing. And so when I got through, his name was David Desforge. It's David Desforge. And David, I asked David, what do you think the problem is? What do you think needs to be done? And he said, well, Lee, you're a very gracious gentleman. And he said, well, do you really want to know? And I said, well, yeah, David, I do. I'm frustrated, and you've heard my story. He said, well, since you ask, I'll tell you what I think the problem is. And I said, okay. And he said, Lee, I think you're the problem. And I said, me? I said, why would you say that? You just heard all the problems that I'm having with the people. He said, yes, I heard that. But he said, Lee, before you can take the beam or the speck out of your brother's eye, you must first take the beam out of your own eye. And for the last hour, you've been complaining about people whom God has called you to love and to be their pastor. And it's very apparent that you're not doing that right now, and you're having a hard time loving them. Inside, I was fuming, and I said, well, thank you for meeting with me. And I paid for the meal, and we left. But I couldn't get that off my mind, what he had said. And so I ended up, after about 3 months, God did some work in my heart, and I repented on my lack of loving them. And I called Dave back, and I asked him, I said, Dave, can we meet for lunch? I want to tell you some things that are going on with me, and I think that it's good. And so I shared with him what was going on in my heart. And he said, okay, now that you have shared this with me, he said, now I want to tell you what I really think you ought to do as far as the church goes. Because he said, I felt like God needed to work in you, Lee, first before I could tell you what I think you ought to do with the church. And I said, okay. He said, I think you need to get out of that church. It's very unhealthy. So that Sunday I resigned. That scripture doesn't, I had to deal with my heart first, and it doesn't deny that they don't have a problem. They have a speck. They have a problem. But the way that I was handling it was all wrong. And, so God had to handle me first. But shortly after that, Dave called me and he said, Lee, I'd like for you to come over and work on my staff. And, they had grown their church up to about 350 at this, in Mills River area of, up in around Hendersonville. Between Asheville and Hendersonville. And so anyway, I said, well, Dave, I can't do that. I said, how would the Presbyterian people think about a Baptist coming on a staff of a church? And he said, well, Lee, I'm not worried about the Presbyterians. He said, I'll handle them. He said, I'm here to lift up the name of Christ and bring people to Jesus. And so if you'll come work for me, I'll handle them. And, so I went to work and I said, well, what do you want me to do? And he said, very interesting title he gave me. He said, I want you to become the director or pastor of assimilation. Back then, if you remember, Star Trek was big. And
that's the first thing that came to my mind was the Borg from Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Borg.
So you were the Borg master. You're the Borg master of a Presbyterian church at that time. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. I would... My job was to assimilate them into the collective, if you will, assimilate them into the church. People coming into the church, we would go through a newcomer's class where we would find out their passions, their giftedness, and also their personalities, and then we would try to focus in on a ministry that suited who they were. We wouldn't try to fit a round peg in a square hole. If we didn't have a ministry for them that fit who they were, we would develop a ministry just for their giftedness. And they would work in that, and they would flourish in that. And I think too many times in our churches today, we're forcing people to do things that aren't who they are. But anyway, they're not able to exercise their gifts freely as God intended for them and to shine like God intended them to shine. But in that 2-year period that I was on the staff at Grace, we saw the church go from 350 to 850. And the church just boomed. It now runs close to, I think, about 3,000. And Dave, after 24 and a half years, just recently resigned, is now in Tennessee doing some coaching and speaking work. But it was probably the most fruitful and exciting period of my life. I just enjoyed that staff. We would come together. We would brainstorm, wouldn't take things offensively. A lot of times when in our brainstorming sessions, we would sit there and somebody would come up with something that would just be off the wall, and you'd think, that'll never work. But before the end of our conversation, a lot of times we'd end up doing that very thing we thought was ridiculous. And it was also a group of elders and deacons. The elders would get together, and they didn't get together to discuss business. They got together to pray, and they would often pray 4 and 5 hours at a time, once a month. And in prayer, the business would come up, and the answers to the business would be answered in prayer. And it was just phenomenal to be a part of that. I haven't seen that since, but it was a very gratifying and very, I call that my most successful, enjoyable time. Now, I do enjoy what I'm doing now very much, but that was something I really saw the fruit great harvest.
Yeah. Absolutely. And two lessons I gather from that. Number one, a lot of times our greatest career success will be born out of a time of adversity. And because your success was preceded by that tough time at that pastorate. And also something I heard in this story that I heard in really your first story in the other segment, or that I heard in your first story a little while ago, is that, even coaches need coaches. Right now, you're a life coach. But
Absolutely. All
of your successes that you've described to me thus far have come from you being humble enough to be willing to ask other people for their insights and their direction. And a lot of times, we don't take that next step for the Lord in our careers because we're too proud or too lazy. And I'm raising both my hands on this side of the microphone. Too proud or too lazy to ask for insight and coaching from other people who can help guide us and, in some cases, give us a swift kick in the pants to go in the direction the Lord has taught us to go. So thank you for sharing that. Has there ever been a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, how did he clear the smoke for you?
Well, I think in my life there have been jaunts along the way. I remember when I was in college, I was walking across the campus. I was at the Liberty University with Dr. Jerry Falwell back in the heyday when Jerry was, in the limelight, if you would. And I was walking across the campus. I'd been in school 2 years and had not declared a major. And as we were walking across White One Right over what was to become gymnasium, the floor was being poured. We were heading toward our dorms. It was late at night, and the moon was out. And I'd been praying, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And the guys got ahead of me. There must have been a group of about 5 or 6 of them. They got ahead of me. And I kind of stopped as I was standing in that foundation of the gymnasium and looked at him, and I thought, who is it that I like to be around? Who is it that I like to talk with? And it dawned on me that those people that I enjoyed being with were people in ministry. And the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And it was at that moment that I felt God calling me to ministry, not necessarily to pastor it. I have pastored, and I feel like that's been part of my ministry. But ministry, and I have had different opportunities in my life to do ministry, going back to United States Army when I was in Korea, sitting on a hillside with a truck, thinking about what God wanted me to do. And I was a little overlooking near the DMZ up there, and I saw a chapel in the distance, and went up to the chapel and talked to the chaplain. I found out he was the head of the whole group up near the DMZ, and for the chaplain's corps was a colonel. And the next thing you know, he had put me in a chaplaincy training school, and I was then ushered and taken to the MASH compound. If you've ever watched MASH on TV, actually the movie was filmed over there. I had been to Rosie's bar and played pool there and met the real Rosie that was actually in the movie. But I started working for a very godly chaplain that had attended Bob Jones and later went to school at the seminary up in Philadelphia, and just a great man who helped me, encouraged me. And I had tremendous opportunities in the barracks where people would come to me, the enlisted men would come to me and talk about Christ. And I had an opportunity to lead one who became a dear friend for years and years. We kind of lost contact in the last few years. I'd like to get back with him. But dear friends, and one of my first person people I saw come to Christ was a roommate of mine who was a black fellow. He and I could not stand each other. And when I came to Christ, while I was in the service just prior to that, Leo Bird and I began talking one night, and he began weeping, and he said his grandfather was a preacher, and he ended up coming to Christ. And so we became like salt pepper. We used to call each other salt pepper. But anyway, to make a long story short, it goes all the way back to those to the beginnings of God preparing my heart for what he called me to do that night. And since then, right after that, I signed up and I was a Christian ministry major with a minor in theology and counseling. And then later I went back to seminary and got a master's degree in Div, and then began working on my doctorate. So I've had a lot of ministry experience, education, and, you know, if I were just to say anything, though, it goes down to what I'm all about, is building relationships with people one-on-one. And if you don't mind, may I kind of jump to one other thing that's kind of helped, I just thought of?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, when I got out of seminary, I had three children at the time, and I had a part-time job at a church, and I did not know what to do. I needed to make more money. And so I was praying one day and saw some movie with Tom Hanks on the TV, and he was talking about he and another guy were talking about being newspaper reporters. And I thought, well, you know, I can write. And so I called a local paper, and they said, well, how much experience do you have? Well, I've been writing term papers in seminary. Well, that won't do. I said, well, how does one break into this industry? And they said, well, you probably would be better if you got a local weekly paper. So I called up. You know where Wintergreen, Virginia is, up in Amherst County and Nelson County area towards Charlottesville. I called a little paper up there, and I became the sports writer for two papers up in that area. And I'll never forget, and this is something I love to pass on to people when they ask me, how do I develop a relationship with another person? And so this is my story. I remember the first day I went in to the office, and Logan Anderson, the editor of the Amherst County Times and the Nelson County Times, gave me a pad of paper, a camera, and a pen, and said, the coach up at the high school is waiting for you. I set up an interview for you to go have an interview with him, and then once you have that, come back and write an article about your interview. I walked out to the car. I got in my car, and I remember I said, oh, my goodness, Lord, what have I done? I said, I have never interviewed anybody. And now I'm going to interview the head coach of this high school, and I don't have any idea what to say to him. And so for that 10-minute ride toward the high school, I prayed. And I said, Lord, you've got to show me what I'm supposed to do. And for some reason, now you may get a chuckle out of this, Robbie. For some reason, I got about 5 minutes down the road, and all of a sudden, Humphrey Bogart popped in my mind. Do you remember him?
I do.
Okay. Well, Humphrey Bogart popped in my mind. He was in a movie when I remember watching it as a kid with, I believe it was Katharine Hepburn he was talking to. And he said to her, he said, you know, there's nothing to being a newspaper reporter than just this one thing, just asking them these five questions. Who, what, when, why, and where? And I said, okay, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up and ask this coach, who are you playing tonight? Where are you playing? What team are you starting? And so I went up and I started asking those five questions, who, what, when, why, and where. And I found that one question led to another question that got me the answer that I wanted and led to another question that led to another question. And before long, I had so many notes I didn't know what to do with. I had more than I needed, which helped for me to write a good article. And that began my newspaper career and my writing career. And then I started noticing, too, that that was something that Jesus constantly did. Did you know Jesus asked more questions than he gave answers? That's an amazing fact.
Did not know
yeah.
That.
Yeah, whose image is on the coin? Whom do men say that I am? Anyway, because one question led to an answer to the answer to the question. So Jesus was constantly asking questions. And so I think that's a lost art in our day. I have found, and my mother used to tell me this when I was, people love to talk about themselves. And I read a book one time that said if you ask people questions, you can ask them five questions in a meeting, never having told them a thing about you, and walk away and they think, that was one of the nicest people I've ever met. He was so interesting. And all you did was ask him questions about yourself. And to learn another thing, my mother used to say when we were children, let's suppose you're at a family reunion, and they take a family group shot of the family, and then they show you the picture. Who are you going to look for first? Well, you're going to look for yourself. And I think that's true. Everybody loves to share their life. But people aren't asking. And if we're just asking people, and that's what I do, I spend 90 to 95% of my time just asking people questions when I go into these work sites. How are you doing? What's been happening lately? Anything you're struggling with? I just start talking to them. And that's what I encourage people to do when they want to build a relationship. Ask somebody at work, hey, can we go out and grab a lunch sometime? I'd like to get to know you. And then when you get out there, say, well, I always ask people this a lot of times when I first get with them. Could you give me an abbreviated version, your Reader's Digest abbreviated version of your life story? And they said, sure. Why? And I said, well, I'd just like to get to know you. I said, okay, where do you want me to start? And I said, well, just start where you were born. And they work their way through it. And I find that as they work their way through it, they bring something up that's of interest that will take me to the next question,
Gave all of us the perfect tool on how to build those relationships. And we talked about earlier about having, you know, one-on-one ministries with people. And if you just have three or four or five good questions you can ask people and get them talking about themselves, like you said before, you know, you'll be able to get that relationship going, and people will feel like you're a great conversationist when they're the ones doing all the talking. And one of the questions I like to use to get a conversation started when I meet someone new is, tell me a little bit about yourself. And that tends to open up the floodgates of information, and then I can bounce other questions off of their response to that initial question. So good thoughts on that. Share a productivity tool that you may have, whether it's internet-based or non-internet-based. Do you have a productivity tool that makes you more efficient and effective in your career?
Well, a lot of it's what I've gone through already. But I think the biggest thing, there's a book that's out right now called People Over Profit. And I think it's a really good book. And I get the genre of this book, is the title says it. But it's about a very successful businessman who made that his priority, putting his people over making money. And the success it has brought him, and he encourages others to do that. And it simply boils down to doing what Jesus did, being a friend. I met a gentleman several years ago. He was Fortune 500 company. They were about a $700 million company. And met him, and he was literally, his hands were shaking. And he had just lost his job with this one company and spent all morning looking for another job. But he was getting older, and it's harder to find jobs when you're older. And so he would spend a good amount of his time just riding in the mountains after spending the morning sending out resumes. He just tried to figure out, well, what am I supposed to do here? Man was worked all the time, and then now he's not working. And so anyway, I sat down with him, and something I post to men a lot. He told me later, he said, "I thought you were crazy." He said, "I went home and told my wife you had lost your mind." I asked him this. I said, suppose you're walking by, suppose your great-great-grandson, whom you never met, was walking past your grave, and he was with his best friend, and he said, "This is where my great-uncle, or great-great-great-grandfather, was buried." And he was known as a man of blank. How would you fill in that blank? What is the legacy that you're going to leave the next generation? What is it you're going to leave to your grandchildren and to your children? How are you going to be remembered? And he said, "Why would I even ask that at this point in my life?" And I said, "Well, we're all destined for that grave." And I said, "If you're not aiming at a target, you can never hit it. And if you're just haphazardly going through life, and so at that point in time," I said, "so I'm not gonna pursue this until you answer that question." So our meeting has ended. And he, like I say, he thought I had lost my mind. But he came back with a stack of papers. He had done research for 3 months on what he would want on his gravestone, wow, his epitaph. And it came down to something. Others over things. One guy said, "I want to be happy." Another said, "Jesus first." Another said, "Loving God and pointing people to Christ." Whatever it is. But anyway, I got with this gentleman, and all of a sudden he realized his focus had been wrong for 40 years in work. And then he was focusing on money, and he was focusing on climbing the corporate ladder, and he wasn't focusing on people. And he was a Christian, and he said, "Focus has been out of whack." And he began calling people and apologizing for the way he had treated them over those 40 years. And he had people flying into Greenville having lunch with him, and him flying out. And then in the process, he started going out on his plant floor and started taking people out to lunch. He got back with me several months later. He said, "Lee, I am having the best time of my life. It is not about money, and it's not about going up the corporate ladder anymore. It's about people. People that guys call me to, you know, serve." And here he is, corporate exec, CEO, CFO, whatever. And anyway, he... When I get one of these guys in front of me, sometimes I'll say, "Hey, let's go see this fellow." And he comes around the desk, he'll sit down right in front of him, and he'll say, "Let me tell you something. It's not about money. It's not about this big organizational thing. It's about these people that are here working with us." Mm-hmm. And he's having an impact, and it's changed his life. And I think our focus sometimes is so wrong, and we hurt so many people along the way. We need to show them Jesus, and Jesus was about relationships.
I tell you what, you've answered really two questions, I think, with that information. Number one, yeah, productivity tool, invest in people. And that's what I'm hearing you from a response to that. But one of the other questions I often ask, and I was about to ask you, was, you know, if you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them? And correct me if I'm wrong, Lee, but I think you've already answered that one too, because, you know, find the way that you're supposed to be investing in people. And it kind of goes back to a lot of things you said. Number one, when you were back in college, you were asking the Lord to show you how you wanted to use him. And he gave you a heart. He showed you that you had a heart for ministry. So that passion combined with the ways he showed you to use that passion to impact people, that's really the clue to knowing how to go in the right direction. Number one, what's your passion that God's given you? Number two, what's the strengths he's given you? And put those two worlds together and you've got the recipe for finding work that is fulfilling and purposeful. Would you agree with that, or have I missed your, have I missed your lesson?
Absolutely. And I guess if it boiled down to everything, for me in my life, it's, what I would want on my gravestone is, he was a friend. As Jesus was a friend. To me, that's what it's all about. You know, you look in the Old Testament and whatnot, you look at it differently. Moses was a friend to God. And also, we're called not only to be a friend to God, but to be a friend to others. So everything hinges on those two commandments, to love God and love others.
There you go.
That's what it's all about.